the final time. We're going to take out our book tonight. And let me have some of the men back there, the ushers, if they're listening, if we have some more of these books to bring them on in. If you do not have a copy of this book, we'd like to give you a copy. Brother Gomez, I'd like you to have a copy of this. Just come on forward. If you do not have a copy, now if you have two or three or five copies at home now, okay, just leave them at home, all right, and don't take another one, okay? But if you do not have a copy of this, if you'll raise your hand, and we'll make sure and get you a copy of it. We've got some up in the balcony. Brother Brent over here, Brother Gomez, and if you need a copy of it, just get their attention, and they'll be happy to give you one, okay? All right? Okay? We're going to page number 47, God willing. We'll get through with this book tonight. I've enjoyed this journey through it. I hope it's been a blessing to you, an encouragement to you. Just kind of putting together in a little booklet form here about what we believe, why we believe it, and all these kind of things. We want you to be a church people that not only knows what you believe, but why you believe it. And that's what this book is about, our Bible doctrine towards the front of the book. Now we're kind of looking at church polity, if you will, just the way the church functions. We've come to page number 47, and you're right here with me. Let's pray together. We'll share these final thoughts with you. Father, we love you tonight. May thy will be done. Thank you for stirring our hearts for what we have seen and heard. And Lord, I pray that you will divinely guide this church with what you'd have us to do with Brother Gomez and his precious family's ministry. Lord, no doubt in my mind you want us to get involved, but to what extent you need to show us, Lord. And we pray that you'll give us peace now. May the will of God be done. Help us to do our part in helping start a church in that needy place. May you be pleased with us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. We are currently looking at our membership or church members, and we are under right now, going back to page 42, the responsibilities of a church member. And then we are beginning to start on the rights of a church member on page number 47. Now, let's look at these things together here. This opening part is just, again, just how the church functions, and this will be tying together with the bylaws. We're in the process of updating our bylaws, and God willing, when we get those accomplished and done, there's been a lot of work done to those. Ms. Stephanie Krause has done a fabulous job with that, and I appreciate her work on all of this as far as taking the changes and updating them. That'll come to you as a church family, so you may notice a few things that might be a little bit different here, but it's because it's going towards the updated bylaws. The rights of church members. If you're a church member, you have some rights. And the first one is you have a right to vote. Now, a member may vote if he or she meets all the following qualifications. First bullet point there, has been a member for at least 3 months. Let me pause there and say I'm glad it's that way. The reason I'm saying that is you don't want somebody who wants to try to cause trouble. And believe it or not, there would be people who would try to cause trouble in this church or any local church. And you don't want them to be able to just to come in, join, and then have the right to vote. No, they must have been a member for at least 3 months, have to be at least 18 years of age and present at a duly called meeting. In other words, there's no absentee voting, all right? And then they must be an active member of the local church. And it says, see bylaws for more information. That'll tie together in the future. What that means is if somebody is an inactive member and so on, and the bylaws identifies for you, again, I'm getting ahead of myself because you'll receive a copy of those, God willing, if you come here for any stretch of time, and this will make sense then. But what that does is it keeps folks who have kind of dropped out of church for several months, or whatever the case may be, and then there's a big church vote coming, and they say, I'm going to go vote on that. You see what I'm saying? So this is a safeguard, all right? So I'm comfortable with these things here. So you have a right to vote if you meet these qualifications. Now we're going to focus our attention for the service tonight right here. If you're a church member, you also have a right to serve as a leader in this local assembly. Now I'm going to read some of this and make some comments. And I've asked the Lord to help me say exactly what He wants me to say. A leader is anyone who represents this local church inside or outside the church walls. Leaders would include, but not limited to now, people like teachers, Sunday school teachers, bus workers, ushers, nursery workers, choir members. Ushers I would include in that. Parking lot attendants I would include in that. The welcome center people I would include in that. Because the fact of the matter is if you represent this church in any shape, form, or fashion, if you represent this local assembly, you are considered a leader in my eyes. Now, that being the case, a leadership position in this church, and may I say any Bible-believing church, a leadership position is a tremendous honor and privilege. It's an opportunity, now get this, it's an opportunity for you to have an impact on others for the cause of Jesus Christ our Lord. Now get this, due to this high calling and responsibility, we have put some leadership qualifications in place. An overwhelming majority of these, Preacher Lassie had already put in place, and I just took them and updated a few, maybe tweaked a few and so on. But we've put these qualifications in place. Now understand this, whether you are a leader now or you're hoping to get involved in the future, and I hope all of you, if you're not involved, you want to get involved doing something. These qualifications, now get it, it's so important that you understand this. These qualifications are not to be taken as an item of bondage, but rather as items of blessing to show that our leaders set the example for those that they lead. Now, folks, listen, we need to understand that if we lead others, we ought to be out front, okay? It's hard to lead behind people. You've got to be out front. Now, let me say this before I start going into these things. Now, some of these are clear cut, but some of them, it's more of your attitude towards these things. Now, look at these qualifications that we have in place. If you're going to be a leader at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, if you're going to teach a class, if you're going to be a bus captain, if you're going to be a bus driver, anything you do, if you're going to be an usher, if you're going to sing in the choir, anything where you are leading others, you're in front of others, you're representing the Lord to others at this local church, then here are the qualifications that we've put in place, and they are biblical. Number one, a leader should possess a clear testimony of salvation. Now, this is a given, friends, okay? A leader should know that he or she truly is a child of God, believing salvation is by grace through faith based on the finished work of Christ, his substitutionary death, his burial, and his resurrection. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, "For by grace you are saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." By the way, if you know you are saved, if you know you're born again, friends, that's a blessing. It's a blessing to know that you are in the family of Almighty God. But is it too much to ask that our Sunday school teachers know that they're in God's family? Is it too much to ask that our ushers who help take the money know that they are in the family of God? No, if they're a leader, they must possess a clear testimony of salvation. Secondly, by the way, if you do not know the Lord as your Savior, or you don't have a clear testimony of salvation, or you're not 100% sure that you're going to heaven, there's no better day than today. Today's the day of salvation. Now's the accepted time. I'm talking about this very moment. Why? Because the Bible says, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." You do not need to put it off any longer. Somebody says, "Well, I'm here on a Wednesday night. What will people think? Hey, I've been teaching Sunday school. What will somebody think if I come forward and get saved?" I'll tell you what somebody whose heart's right will think. They'll shout the glory. That's what they'll do. I'm telling you, don't miss the new birth for anybody or anything. Second qualification for a leader is a leader should be a member of this local church. Now, what that means is this. Now, there are certain things that non-members can do. You can go on door-to-door visitation. You can go out soul winning because that's a Bible thing. But if you're going to lead in this local church, then we ask that you are a member of this local church. All right? Some leadership positions, not all, but some, talking about with children, require a minimum membership of 6 months. Now, Acts 2, verses 41 to 47 talks about joining the local church. We've already spoken on that. But again, we want our leaders to be church members, okay? Thirdly, a leader, this on page 48, a leader should possess a godly Christian testimony. And I'm going to read this the way I've got it, okay? Because our church has been misrepresented. That's a shock to you, isn't it? Our church has been misrepresented, all right? There are things in the past, they may still be in the present. I've not heard the present, but things in the past that has been said about this local church that just to put it honest, it's a bunch of hogwash, friends, okay? It's ridiculous, all right? Let me read this. A leader is to live a life that does not bring reproach upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ or the local church. Requirements include abstinence from alcoholic beverages and use of tobacco products. Now, this is for leaders now, okay? Now, I may be speaking to somebody that you're struggling with tobacco products. Maybe you're struggling with drinking alcohol every now and then, but you've got a desire to get this right with God. God's going to help you. God's going to help. He'll deliver you. Now, He'll do it. You just keep going on for God. This does not mean that if there's somebody here who's wanting to do something for God and you smoke a cigarette every now and then, that God can't use you. Don't say something that I'm not saying, okay? God can use you if you are usable. But if you're going to be a leader in this local church, we ask that you abstain from alcoholic beverages and the use of tobacco products. And I like it when people are honest. I've had people come to me lately who said, you know, I'm struggling with smoking cigarettes. I like dealing with people like that. I like that. The Lord likes that. And I'm telling you, this is just something that we're holding the leadership to the highest standard possible. And what I would encourage somebody like that to do is you go soul winning, you do the things you can do, you get busy for God and ask God to deliver you from these things, and then God's going to give you strength, and as He delivers you, then we're going to put you in the leadership positions. Now, notice this now. Modest dress in the church and while serving in a ministry outside the church. And let me say this to you. You've heard Preacher Lashley say this over and over again, and I agree that what you wear and what you do at home is between you and God. But when you're representing the Lord at this church, it's your business, God's business, and my business. Because I'm the pastor and I'm going to stand before God. I'm going to do that. Now let me say this to you. I am not trying to get you to abide by a certain dress standard. I'm talking about when you go to Walmart, when you do. No, I'm talking about in this church and while you're representing a ministry. I'm talking about in or outside of this church, you're representing this church or you're coming to this church to teach a Sunday school class or be on a bus route and so on. Let me say this to you. Everything I find in the Word of God, the issue when it comes to dress, the issue is modesty. I can look at you and say no matter what you wear, whether it be Walmart, the house of God, or anywhere else, it ought to be modest. It should not be revealing. It should not be too tight. It should not be too short. Anything. That's Bible, friends, okay? That's the Word of God. But for me to say that the ladies should never wear a pair of slacks, are you listening to me? That's I'm not making that cardinal mistake, okay? May I say this to you? What you wear is between you and the Lord. I ask that it's modest no matter where you're wearing it. But in this church, when you come to this church as a leader, we ask that ladies wear knee-length dresses or skirts. And let me say this just in case there's somebody here, I'm talking about a lady who might be wearing a pair of slacks tonight. Don't let that bother you. It doesn't bother me. All I'm saying to you is that if you want to be a leader in this church, then we're going to ask our ladies to come in knee-length dresses or skirts, not tight or form-fitting. And one reason we do this is because we're trying to hold people to the highest possible standard where nobody has a problem. You realize that there are people around the world, there may be even people here tonight, If there are people like this, I don't know who they are, but I know that they exist, okay? So if this is you, please, please don't let this offend you, okay? Please. There may be somebody that they believe that it is ungodly for a woman to wear a pair of slacks. Can I be honest with you? I'm not one of those. As long as it's modest. Amen. But knowing that there are people like that, we don't want to give anybody the excuse not to send their children or come here to Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. Everybody understand what I just said? Nobody argues that a modest dress is immodest on a woman. Nobody. By the way, there are dresses that are more immodest than pants on women. Amen, friends. But what I'm doing to you here is I'm showing you why we have our standard here. I do not want anybody to come and see a lady teaching a class in a pair of slacks that's modest, but they have a higher standard than here, and therefore they try to find another church because we offended them with something that I'm not willing to fight that battle. Now, I hope I made sense with what I just said. You know, I heard Dr. Curtis Hudson say this. He preached a message called Die, Fight, Fuss. And he said, there's some things I'll die for, some things I'll fight for, some things I'll fuss about. But what I fight for, I'm not going to die for, and what I fuss about, I'm not going to fight about. You realize there are people who try to die for things that it's crazy. It's crazy. So this is our issue here. I draw the line personally. I'm talking about me personally now. I'm not trying to make the church conform to me. I'm saying me personally, the issue is modesty. If it's modest, great. But if you're going to be a leader, we're going to ask you to take a step above. We're going to ask you to come in at least a knee length. That's at least a knee length. Dress or skirt that's not tight or form-fitting. A modest dress or skirt for leaders. Okay? I'm glad that's over with, all right? I hope I make sense with what I'm saying to you here, okay? We ask our men to wear long pants. Now, does that mean it's ungodly to wear? No. No. But we don't want a man teaching Sunday school in shorts, friends. We feel like it's more appropriate for men. I'm talking about for men in leadership to wear long pants. We ask that there be no long hair on men, that it be shaved. That's Bible, by the way. The Word of God teaches that a lady's hair is given to her for a covering, and it's a shame for a man to be covered. And that's Bible. So we ask that there's no long hair on men. It doesn't have to be as short as mine tonight, you know, and all these kind of things. And we ask that facial hair on men, all right? Some of you catch that by freight tomorrow sometime. We ask that facial hair should be neat and trimmed, okay? For instance, we wouldn't want, you know where I'm going with this, right? And so on and so forth. Hilarious show. Especially when he drinks his tea, you know, and all this kind of stuff. But we don't necessarily want Duck Dynasty up singing in the choir, all right, and all these kind of things. So, again, it's just, don't get me tickled now. Y'all get me tickled. See, y'all like it when I teach on things like this. Because, see, this is putting myself, you know, I've got targets all over me right now, if you understand what I'm saying. 2 Corinthians 6:17, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I'll receive you. Let me just pause right here and say this. Why are we trying to hold leaders to the highest standard possible? May I answer that by saying this? Because the Lord deserves our best. Now, that does not mean that these standards are the absolute best, and anybody that doesn't meet this, they're not doing the best for God. Please. I hope you see my heart in this. But our motive in this is to please the Lord. We're trying to please Him. By the way, would you agree that God Almighty is blessing Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church? Now, He is, friends. He's blessing here. And I believe He's trying to do greater things. I really do. I really believe He's trying to do greater things. And what I If it's not broke, don't try to fix it. I mean, don't upset the apple cart. I mean, God is pleased with what's going on here. And if anything, we ought to get better. If anything, we ought to fly the banner higher, not lower. Amen, friends? For the Lord. For the Lord. Next, a leader should be faithful to all services of the church. Now, this is a given. A lot of this I've already taught on throughout this book. But again, this would include Sunday school. Hey, if you're not in Sunday school, get into a Sunday school class. That is a time where the larger church becomes smaller. And we encourage you to get in Sunday school. It's a great time to gather around the Word of God, hear the Word of God taught. This would include Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Wednesday evening, all special meetings unless providentially hindered. You can notice the Bible verse there, Hebrews 10:25. Hey, it's a given. Leaders should set the example in church attendance. You ought to be here. And let me encourage you with something. You don't know, just like I don't, we do not know when God's going to come and arrest a service like He did Sunday night. And He used the choir to do it, Brother Gary. He used that choir song to start something Sunday night, and the Holy Spirit of God, I felt, came and took control of the service. That was Sunday evening. Were you here? You don't know when He's going to come in on a Wednesday night and do that. It could be Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. It could be a revival meeting, a mission conference. The bottom line is this. Why don't you just make up your mind, unless I absolutely cannot go, every time that door's open, I'm going. God will bless you for that. God expects that out of leaders. I guess you've heard the story about, I'm paraphrasing, and this is an old story that I've read, and some of the details I might have wrong, but there's a man got up on Sunday morning and said, I'm not going to church. They don't love me there. They don't like me there. And he said something, I guess, you know, along the line, I'm not sure I like them either. And his wife said, you've got to go. He said, give me one reason why. She said, because you're the pastor, sweetheart. You've got to go. Now, that wasn't me, okay, friends? Let me give you the next one. A leader should exhibit faithfulness and stewardship. Again, I'm not going to dwell here because I've already taught on this elsewhere. But a leader is to be faithful in following the biblical plan of supporting the Lord's work through tithes and offerings. It is the will of God to bring Him the tithe. It's God's. And I remind you, in Malachi 3:8 to 10, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. There may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Matthew 23:23, woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done. In other words, he's saying what you did, paying tithe. He said, you should have done it. These ought ye to have, you did right. You should have done that, but not leave the other undone. Hebrews 7:5-8, you can notice this here. Again, in the book of Malachi, and many of you have heard me say this, but this is a good time to remind you of this. By the way, a preacher does the congregation an injustice if he's afraid to speak about money. I'm telling you that God blesses when you give to Him. And the fact of the matter is when you give to Him, He opens the windows of heaven. I want the windows of heaven open in my life. Don't you? I want Him to open the windows. Hey, only God. Hey, you don't know what He's going to pour out of the window of heaven. I want those windows open. And He says, you have robbed me. And again, I emphasize, notice He says, you have robbed me. And you say, wherein have we robbed thee? And He says, in tithes and offerings. And He said, rob me. He didn't say, you stole from me. He said, you robbed me. And I heard a preacher one time explain the difference. He said, listen, if you go home tonight while you're here, and your front door's broken in, and you go in, and all your furniture's just overturned, and there's some items missing out of your home, somebody stole from you. But on the other hand, if you drive into your driveway and you get out of your car and you're walking up to the front door and somebody grabs you by the throat from behind, sticks a gun up to your head and says, give me everything you've got. Now they're robbing you. They're threatening you. You know what God's saying when you don't tithe and give offerings? You're trying to take me by the throat, put a gun to my head and threaten me. You listening to me? You pull the trigger, nothing's going to happen. Don't tempt God. Don't tempt him. You know what I'm praying? I'm asking the Lord even right now in my mind, help me, help my family to give to everything you want us to give to and as much as you want us to give. Leaders ought to set that example. Now, I remind you again, I don't know if you give or not. I like it that way. I'm not preaching to get more money. God, I'm preaching to have the windows of heaven open in your life. Give to God. Then, page number 49, a leader should be loyal to authority. A leader is to be loyal to the pastor and anyone else he or she serves under by fully cooperating with the program, by withholding criticism from others. Hebrews 13, 17, obey them and have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, and they may do it with joy, not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Hey, let me say this to you. Are you going to agree with every single thing that I do? You're probably not going to agree with everything I've said tonight, okay? You're not going to agree with everything I say, okay? And I'm not going to agree with everything you would say if you were here. But may I say something to you? Don't play God in my life. You leave me to God. Now, unless I go off doctrinally, if I do that, kick me out of here. If I go off morally, kick me out of here. If I go off financially, kick me out of here. Get rid of me. But if it's because we're putting carpet in instead of hardwood, and you, all this kind of stuff, you listening to me? All I got to do is just look over my glasses at you like that, right? You know what I'm talking about. You're mature people. You understand this. Leaders should be loyal to authority. And that would be the pastor, that would be anybody that you serve under, because we're going to give account to God. Hey, God's going to judge me, friends. That's sobering. But make sure he doesn't have to judge you for judging me. Make sense? Now, you know that everything I say is right, and if you want to be right, you just need to say yes. No, I'm kidding with you. I'm going to make mistakes. I know that. I understand that. I hope I don't make mistakes in preaching the Word of God now. But in stuff like this, how high should the standard be? Maybe I don't meet it to where you want it to go. Or maybe I'm coming lower than you want. Or maybe I'm too strict, whatever. But I hope you at least see my heart in it, that I want to please God. So God just wants the folks to be loyal. And I would say this. If it ever gets to the point where somebody says, I cannot follow him, I cannot follow him, then honestly, before the Lord, you'd need to find somebody that you can follow. I hope you understand. Now, I'm not trying to get rid of anybody, because honestly, as far as I know, there's no disunity here. As far as I know, I mean, it's great. But you need to be able to have confidence in your leader and be able to submit to his authority, because he represents the Lord to you. So you need to at least be able to be loyal. If you can't be, find somewhere where you can be, okay? Now, I hope that you can be here, okay? Because you have my word, I'm trying to do what God wants us to do. Then, a leader should experience a daily walk with the Lord. I've put an asterisk beside this one. If you want me to tell you the one thing that means the most to me outside of salvation, now I'm talking about outside of your personal testimony, what's the one thing that means the most to me in all these qualifications? Put an asterisk right there beside that one. Because see, if you're walking with God, all these other things take care of itself. Do you understand that? I'm talking about going back to the dress issue, whether you're a lady that wears slacks or not, which a majority of you are, but whether you are or not, you walking with God, you're going to make sure it's modest. You see what I'm saying? You walk with God and it takes care of your giving. You walk with God, it takes care of your loyalty. You walk with God, it takes care of these things. You as a leader ought to be, you as a Christian ought to walk with God. But especially if you're in leadership. Then, a leader should adhere to a strict hands-off policy. Let me read this. A leader is to keep his or her hands off members of the opposite sex. We do not make it a habit here of hugging folks of the opposite sex. We shake hands, but we try not to make it a habit. Now, some churches are touchy-feely, men hugging women. I'm not condemning them. But here, we're just trying to be as safe as we possibly can, okay? So we're asking that the opposite members keep now, when we mean hands, we're talking about like in a sexual way and all these kind of things. Also, a man should never place a child in his lap. A leader should have as little physical contact with children as possible. Never use any form of physical discipline or spanking. A leader is to never be alone with a child. Leaders are to understand and commit to follow the policies and procedures of the Children's Ministry Manual. We have put this together. The Christian Law Association, Dr. David Gibbs, by the way, we've got him coming back. All day on Mother's Day, he's going to be with us. And we're excited about that. And he helped us with this policy, this manual. So this is something that we're trying to be very, very careful with putting hands on children, anything like that. So we ask those that work with children to abide by the Children's Ministry Manual that we have come up with, okay? And before you're able to work with children, you are screened. There's a background check, and you'll get one of these packets that you read through, you commit to abide by it, all these kind of things. It's sad that you have to do those kind of things nowadays. But as a father of children, I'm glad we have stuff like that in place. And if you have children or grandchildren, you, I believe, appreciate that not just anybody can be in with children around here. We've got safeguards, okay? Flip the page. We're almost done. A leader should be faithful to the visitation program. This is another big one. Unless providentially hindered, a leader, no matter who they are, choir member, usher, parking lot attendant, teachers, superintendents, bus workers, you name it, a leader is to be actively involved reaching people by participating in the visitation ministry of this local church on a weekly basis. A leader should also be in attendance at a visitation meeting or a bus meeting, if it applies to them. Sunday school teachers, superintendents, bus workers are expected to participate in the visitation program. All other leadership positions, like choir members and ushers, they are urged to get involved. Hey, if you want to follow the leadership of the pastor, get involved in the ministry of this church, winning people to Jesus Christ. I'm talking about giving the gospel out, getting them discipled. You as a leader should be actively involved in the visitation program, okay? God willing, we'll be giving you some things. Of course, the ministries are out here, and I'm working on things if I ever get to them, all right? Three more here, I think, and we're drawing to a close. A leader must believe the Bible to be the inspired word of God without error and the sole authority for our faith and practice. A leader must believe and practice the Bible. The King James Version is the only version from which we teach and preach at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. Hey, I'm glad that I have no doubt the book I hold in my hand is perfect. Amen. Hey, if it wasn't, we might as well not go to Brazil, Brother Gary. I mean, honestly. If there's errors and contradictions in this book, how do we know what we're preaching is right or not? Hey, I'm glad there's no errors or contradictions in this book. And I'm telling you, we believe the Bible to be the inspired Word of God, preserved in English in the King James Bible. Now, this is something that leaders help us hold the line with that. All right? Now, again, if somebody comes in here and they're carrying an NIV or an ASV or something like that, they're welcome here, okay? We're going to work with them. We're not going to get rid of that. No, we don't do that. But if they ever want to be a leader, then they're going to use the King James. And that's when we can sit down with them, explain to them why we use the King James and all those kind of things. This is vitally important. Okay? A leader should seek to promote and preserve harmony in the church. That kind of goes back to loyalty, just to take it a step further. Leaders should pour water on fires, not gas. You know what Preacher Lashley taught me about church work? It's a firefighter. The pastor's a firefighter. There's little fires all the time to put out. Boy, was he ever right. Was he ever right? I'm talking about whether it's a paper fire, an administration fire, a people fire, you name it. There's fires all the time. And you've got to put them out. Because if you don't put a fire out, it's going to get bigger, right? You realize that leaders, we've got so many leaders that if there's criticism, some leader's going to hear it, more than likely. Because somebody who's a blabbermouth, they can't keep their mouth shut, okay? They're not going to criticize in their closet at home is what I'm trying to say. They're going to tell somebody. And more than likely, it's not going to be somebody in their family. It's going to be somebody that they may know. The pastor's going to hear this through him. Now, has that happened? Not that I know of, honestly. Because I'm perfect, friends. I mean, there's nothing to criticize. I'm kidding, okay? But I know stuff like that happens in local churches. What do I mean by this? To preserve harmony. Here's what I mean. If you hear anything that's trying to disrupt the unity of the church, put it out as a leader. Put it out immediately. You say, how do you do it? Take that person and say, let's go see the pastor first. What's the pastor going to do? Ring them out? No. May I say, if it's good, I like constructive criticism. But it needs to be appropriate, if you understand. Okay? So help us preserve harmony. All right? You can see the verse here. A leader must believe that all men can be saved by the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church is a non-Calvinistic church. We do not believe that all people will be saved. The Bible teaches that. But that they can be by trusting in Jesus Christ as their Savior. Now, this is a movement that is coming on the scene by storm. And it's infiltrating a lot Baptist churches. And let me say this to you in all fairness to folks who consider themselves a Calvinist. If you consider yourself a Calvinist, you're not going to teach here. You're not going to be a leader here. But we love you. But the fact of the matter is this. The word Calvinist is like Baptist. There's different degrees. Not every Calvinist believes the same thing. Not every Baptist believes the same thing. But I know where that teaching can lead. And where that teaching leads is that God's already made the choice for us. That He has chosen some for eternal life. And if He's chosen you for eternal life, you will be saved because He chose you. But if He didn't choose you, I'm sorry, there's no hope for you. Are you listening to me? We do not believe that. Now, are there unanswered questions? Absolutely. But we believe when God says he so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, we believe that's exactly what God meant. And we believe that whether you're establishing a church there where you're going or whether we're going to Brazil, that we can get up and we can preach and we can teach, and every person there has the same opportunity to trust Jesus Christ. We believe that God has drawn the world to Himself at the cross of Calvary. He said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. He drew the world to Himself at Calvary. And His Holy Spirit uses the Word of God to pound on people and convict them of their sin. But He does not come into them and make them a robot. You will do this. God doesn't do that. There's free will and there's the sovereignty of God. They run side by side. Don't try to explain it. You can't do it. But all I know is that we believe that when Jesus Christ died, He did not die just for the elect. He died as the propitiation of sin. And He died, and His death, His burial, and His resurrection is not only sufficient for the elect, but is sufficient for the world. And I'm telling you that whosoever will may come, and God Almighty has made it to where every human being can be saved by the grace of Almighty God. They must accept Christ on His terms. We're non-Calvinistic, okay? Now, let me conclude this with these three paragraphs, and we'll pray and be done momentarily. Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church is certainly not the only church that is trying to please the Lord. I say amen to that. We're not the only church. However, we are a local church that God has blessed down through the years. We trust and pray that His blessings will continue to rest upon this place. We hope the information you've received in this booklet has been both instructional and inspirational. While we know Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church is not God's will for every person, we want you to know that we would be grateful to you to have you serving the Lord with us here if the Lord leads you to do so. If you have further questions, please feel free to contact the pastor. He'll be more than happy to answer those questions to the best of his ability. God bless you. God bless Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. Now, I trust that this booklet has answered maybe some of your questions, maybe fortified some things for you. The good Lord willing, this will become, the good Lord willing now, a pre-membership class that folks will have to at least go through this booklet, not as long as it took me to go through it with you, but at least go through the highlights of this booklet and understand it and agree to it before they can ever become a member of this local church. Okay? I believe tonight it'd be appropriate. Miss Cole, if you're in here, if you'll just come, just begin to play through softly. I never want to let a service come and go without giving folks an opportunity to trust Christ, because I don't know your heart, and I don't know whether you're a born-again child of God or not. I can take a guess, and I can say I believe you are, but the fact is you don't know my heart, and I don't know yours. So I don't know how the Lord uses His services all the time. He works in mysterious ways. I've learned that the Lord can take this just leaving, I'm talking about finishing this booklet up and drive salvation home to somebody. He can do anything He wants to do. So tonight, if you are struggling with your salvation, or maybe you don't know the Lord, or you'd like to learn more about Him, He's a wonderful Savior. He's changed my life. He's the reason we're going to Brazil. He's the reason. There's a lot of work to be done. There's people to be reached down there, hopefully souls to be saved. But we're not going for the buildings. We're not going for Brother Graham. We're not going for Brother Rom. We're not even going for the people. We're going for the Lord. He's our motive, and He's worthy. He's worthy of our praise. If you don't know Him tonight, we'd like to introduce Him to you. Man with a man, lady with a lady. Momentarily when she begins to play, not yet, but when she begins to play, we're going to invite you to come. Let us take a Bible and share with you the gospel of Jesus Christ. Along with these folks that I've invited, I'd like to ask as many folks that would feel led to come, and we're going to have special prayer for this group that's going to Brazil. I'd like to ask many of you to do this, so let's just begin to play through softly. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. If you want to come forward to pray for this special group that's going to Brazil, I want you to come. I want you to come now. We're going to have special prayer. If you're not sure that you're saved, if you're not sure that heaven is your home, if you're not sure that you're born again, then you come now. Let us take a Bible, share with you more about Jesus Christ, more about the Lord. You come. We'll be happy to help you, to stay with you, to point you to the Lord. As we pray here momentarily, I'm going to ask Brother Brad Griffin, sir, I'm going to ask you to pray for us. And I want you to pray specifically for a couple of things. Number one, I want you to pray that God will give us safety. I want you to pray, most of all, that the Lord will finish His will through us. And He knows what that means. That means every soul that's lost that hears the gospel will trust Christ. That means that the building that needs to be done will be accomplished. That means that the gospel tracts on the airplanes, in the airports that He wants passed out, will be passed out. That the will of God will be done. And this will be our closing prayer. And deacons, remember, I need to meet with you just real briefly, okay? Brother Brad, if you'll pray for us, sir, please.
Dear Lord, You saw it fit tonight to start the service with a challenge from Mexico on how You work in foreign fields, how there's souls all over to be saved, to hear Your word. Oh, Lord, what a challenge that was. Lord, for the ones going to Brazil. Now, Lord, we can't accomplish anything. No matter what we send, no matter who we send, no matter how we send, unless You go with us, Lord, You go before us. Lord, I'm praying that every person that goes will be used of You in a mighty way. Lord, that people down there will see that These people are Christians. They mean business for you. Lord, I just pray that you'd give us a tremendous harvest down there. Lord, that things won't be the same because we went there, because we took you with us. Lord, now please work through our people. Lord, help us back here at home to be faithful and pray. And Lord, we pray that you'd give the ones going a tremendous peace in their heart about what they're doing, about what's going on back here, about the families they're leaving. Lord, I just pray that they'll come back, and Lord, they'll talk about the glory of God that was on them, that they felt your presence. Lord, that you would speak through them while they're there, and then Lord, when they come home, you'll speak through them to us about the need that's there. And Lord, we as a church would rise up and meet the need, Lord, on a foreign field. Lord, we know that it's pastor's heart's desire. And Lord, it's also the desire of many people in this church to see new churches started this year. Lord, we just pray that they'd come home and, Lord, we'd be excited about it. Lord, lead the leadership of this church as we look at Brother Gomez's ministry. Oh, Lord, Lord, it's hard to tell. Only you know, Lord, how many different churches this church could be used to help get started in this year coming ahead. Oh, Lord, please do a work through us. Lord, we believe time is short. Lord, we believe that you're going to come back soon. And, oh, Lord, that we would be used to our fullest in between now and then. Lord, that we'd go home to you and we'd really find heaven a place of rest. Oh, Lord, use us. Lord, I pray that you'd bless in the meetings where Pastor preaches. Bless in everything we do down there. Lord, oh Lord, that we could come back, that they could come back and we could stand here and give you honor and glory for great and mighty things that you did, Lord, that we didn't even think possible. Now, Lord, do a great work, please. Lord, help us tonight to be an encouragement to this brother that came. Lord, he challenged us. Lord, I think he challenged the group going. Lord, now let us be a blessing to him for you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Thank you very much. Brother Gomez, you and your family, please, please go out to the lobby. I'm gonna give you a head start. And as soon as they get all most of the back there, you folks are dismissed tonight. Please go by and see Brother and Mrs. Gomez. And pray for the group going to Brazil. Deacons, I'll see you right here in the middle, okay? Thank you, folks. God bless you. You're dismissed tonight. Thank you very much.